Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is a joy to be with you again. I don't know how many of you were here when I preached last February. We are new back to the area. I was pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Linwood for close to 10 years back in, about 25 years ago. And I got to know both Pastor Winkle and Pastor Parks very well. And David has been a good friend for many years. And so we've returned to the area over the last 6 months, built a home in Mukilteo, and we are just delighted to be back here in the Pacific Northwest and in my home synod, Northwest Washington Synod. And David and this congregation have been so warm and welcoming. Your hospitality has been amazing, and we appreciate it. And I appreciate the opportunity that David has given me this morning to preach and share God's word with you. So thank you. The second lesson from Romans chapter 12 has been split up. Last Sunday you heard the first half of the text, and today we hear the second half. But I'm going to look at it in its full context, so you'll hear some words from last Sunday's Romans text, and we'll be focusing, though, on today's lesson from Romans. But I'd like to look at it in its full context. And I'd start with a story from Cameroon. A group of Christian women from Cameroon united in their concern for the suffering of their African continent, decided to do something practical in response. So every Monday, they stopped doing what they were doing, their regular chores and activities, and at a fixed time, they lit candles which bore the name of each country in their continent, in Africa, where there was conflict. They had a candle for each country that was in conflict. And they prayed. They put on a red scarf with blue trimming. The red symbolized blood that had been shed, and the blue stood for peace and hope. And then they turned their minds and hearts to God and asked for God's mercy and intercession that the conflict and violence of war would be transformed into peace, praying for human pain and suffering to be alleviated. When a local bishop heard about the ecumenical nature of their prayers and the social action among these women of different faith traditions, he sought to discourage contact between them. He asked them if they were not aware of the differences in their churches, and why was it that they were coming together? And one of the women replied, "Bishop, we are aware of differences, but we are also aware of the importance of life and that we are all serving one God who cares about the precious gift of life for every one of God's children." Well, now more than ever, we need women and men to be agents of healing in our broken world. Like those women who gathered together to pray, so we need to pray for our world. One only need look at the rise of extremism in this country, witnessed by the recent conflict in Charlottesville and elsewhere. There is endless turmoil in the Middle East that seems to escalate daily. War, poverty, disease, and death are the order of the day for many African nations. And yes, prejudice is still alive and well in this United States and in some of our congregations. There is no question that we live on a fractured planet where life and relationships are not what God intended. We need Christians who would be uniters, not dividers. Bearers of grace, forgiveness, and mercy in a world gone mad with war and hatred. Now more than ever, we need the good news of the gospel. The New Testament offers a vision for the healing and transformation of the world. St. Paul writes to the church at Rome about what it means to live a Christ-like life. That we, as followers of Jesus, are called to emulate his life and share with the world that there is a different way. Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. And so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." We are one in Christ. And yet we are currently living in a fractured nation. And even as Christians, we are divided. Like during the days of the Civil War in our past, we find friends and family members pitted against each other, each convinced of the righteousness of their own cause. And when we allow anger, prejudice, and intolerance to raise its ugly head, our witness to the world is weakened. Jesus weeps. Paul goes on to say then, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor to the other. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of others. Extend hospitality to the stranger. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm reminded of the words of Edmund Burke, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing." All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing. Is not that a clarion call to the believer, to us as Christians, to stand up against all that is evil in this world? Martin Luther once said, "God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbor does." And he talked a lot about caring for the neighbor in need. But who is our neighbor? That's the big question. Do they include people who are different from us, who have a different color of skin, a different faith, or who may be from a different political persuasion? Are they our neighbor? Jesus tried to answer this in his parable of the Good Samaritan. Moreover, he led by example. Jesus didn't keep to his own. Rather, he ministered to the outcast, the leper, the tax collector, the adulteress, even the Gentile. Remember, he was a Jew, and Jews and Gentiles didn't really have a lot in common and didn't really interact with one another. But Jesus said, "The gospel is for all people." And Jesus got his hands dirty and often went against the mores of his day to show that God loved all of God's children. And St. Paul takes it one further in his letter to the Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In Christ, all divisions are wiped away and all the walls come down. We are called to extend God's love and compassion to all people, There is no place for hate or fear in the kingdom of God. Pastor Jane Buckley Farley is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Congregation in Cedar Riverside neighborhood of Minneapolis. That Cedar Riverside neighborhood has been a first stop for immigrants, beginning with Scandinavians in early the last century. Today, many of Trinity's immigrant neighbors are Somali and of the Muslim faith. Jane shared with me how her congregation has found a way to work with and deepen relationships with that immigrant community. In talking with her a few months back, she shared with me how the neighborhood mosque had been severely damaged by an arson fire. The day of the fire, she went to the scene to be a supportive presence and subsequently attended a number of neighborhood meetings. Trinity's council did not hesitate a second to reach out to their Muslim sisters and brothers, and Trinity's congregation opened their doors to these Somali Muslims while they rebuilt their mosque. So they had a place to come and worship and pray. Fledgling relationships of mutual trust and respect were greatly deepened through the engagement of these two communities of faith as they begin to learn to respect and trust one another. And when the mosque was remodeled, the front door of the worship center faced the neighborhood, unlike a traditional structure with the door towards the back. They chose to put their door facing the neighborhood as a sign of greater partnership and openness to the community. And likewise, it's not unusual for Trinity Church and for their electric sign to wish people a blessed Ramadan. As a nation and as a church, we are stronger for our diversity. And in these turbulent times, we must look to our better angels to guide us. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote these words of encouragement: "I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the last word. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the last word. In a culture of exclusion, racism, and domination over those who are different or of a lower order, the early church of Paul's day was called to be an inclusive community that encouraged equality and welcomed all in the name of Jesus. And so it is today. We are called as Christians to practice radical hospitality in the name of Jesus Christ." Let me close with this powerful story from World War II. A young soldier was going off to fight the Japanese, and as his father put him on the train and waved goodbye, he turned with bitter tears and said, "If my son is killed, I hope every Jap in the world is killed." And yet the fact that the father was a Christian caused him to struggle with that thought. He finally realized that Christ didn't want him to hate other people, and whether his son lived or died, he was not even to hate the Japanese. And he declared, "I refuse to hate, I refuse to be destroyed by hate." A year later, his son was killed on the battlefield. Soon afterwards, insurance money arrived, and the father sent the entire $10,000 to the Foreign Mission Society of his church and designated it for ministry among the Japanese people. How could a father do this? How could he choose to bless those who had killed his son? only by the miracle of grace. For only God can change bitterness and hate into forgiveness and love. In this age of cynicism, prejudice, hatred, and fear, we can be healers in the world. We can offer an alternative in the good news of Jesus Christ. We can conquer hate with love. We can offer hope. Ultimately, it is the only way to bring healing and wholeness to our lives, to our relationships, and to our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.